This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome again to Fire on the Earth. We're here with my good friend and someone many of you know, Ralph Martin, who's been here this week so far. We've been talking about Fatima and the miracle of Fatima, its meaning. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there on the website. Just go to the website, renewalministries.net. Again, you can watch them there or download them and listen to them on whatever device you have at your leisure. And I encourage you, if you know people who haven't had a chance to hear these programs yet, encourage them to go to the website. There's lots of good stuff there, both about the story of Fatima, it'll be there, but there's a lot of all our television programs, radio programs, lots of free materials there for you to be able to use to help strengthen your own journey and help you help others following Christ in this really challenging and really important time in our lives and the life of the church. But welcome back, Ralph.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be back, and it's great to be able to share these truly wonderful gifts that God has given to us through these children and through our Lady. Where we left off was the preparation for meeting Mary had been completed, the third visit of the angel. And that last line the angel said, make reparation for their crimes and console your God. That little phrase, console your God, deeply struck the little boy, Francisco. And when he learned that he was going to die soon, he stopped going to school. And he spent a lot of each day sitting behind the tabernacle in his parish church, consoling Jesus, just wanting to be with Jesus, just wanting to love him, just wanting to pay attention to him, just wanting to keep him company. And different aspects of what the angel and Mary said struck the children differently. They all were struck by the whole thing. Francisco was particularly struck by the call to console your God, and that's how he expressed it. So here's the big day, May 13th, 1917, and the preparation has been complete, and Mary arrives. And this is how Lucia described it. She was more brilliant than the sun, radiated light more clear and intense than a crystal glass filled with sparkling water when the rays of the burning sun shine through it. And this is what she said. I am from heaven. Return here on the 13th of the month for the next 6 months at the same time. Then Lucia, once again, was the bold one who asked the angel the question about what kind of sacrifices are you talking about. This is what Lucy asked Mary. Will we go to heaven? And this is what she said. Yes, but Francisco will first need to say many rosaries, as she looked with compassion and a little sadness at him. Then Lucy asked about two young friends who had died. Is Maria Neves in heaven? She died at the age of 16. Mary said, yes, she is. And then Lucy asked, what about Amelia? She was 18 to 20 years old. She'll be in purgatory until the end of the world.
What does that mean?
Well, I think Father Apostoli, in his wonderful book on Fatima, says apparently she was engaged in immoral behavior, and perhaps she repented before she died and didn't go to hell, but there's a lot of purification needed. Yeah. So it's kind of like, in order to be in heaven, we really have to be transformed. We really do. And if the transformation hasn't advanced sufficiently on this earth to be completed in the particular mode of dying that the Lord has designed for us, that's where purgatory comes in. But it's really good news to be in purgatory. It means you're saved, you know. It means that eventually you're going to see the Lord face to face, but that there's some healing of the soul that needs to happen. There's some reparation for sin that needs to happen. There's some getting ready to see God face to face.
And there's no... What does Hebrews say? You know, you won't be able to see the face of God and live if you're not prepared for it.
Right.
What does that mean exactly? Like, what is this preparation exactly, and why would it destroy us in some way if we came into God's presence without being purified?
Two things. One is a moral and spiritual purification, freeing us from any attachment to wickedness, any attachment to selfishness, any attachment to sin, completely enabling us to will the will of God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. So that's one thing. That's a purification that needs to happen. But also our current bodies, as they're currently configured, couldn't handle the encounter with God. So that's why we have the reconstitution of our bodies and the resurrection from the dead, that that somehow our whole body and soul needs to be transformed and transfigured like we see in the transfiguration. We see a transfiguration of Jesus there. We see a transfiguration of Jesus in his resurrection appearances. That's got to happen to us. Yeah. And so a pretty significant sort of transformation needs to happen before we could be in the presence of the infinite majesty and glory and holiness and love and goodness and truth and purity of God.
Yes, and yesterday we talked about a difference. So paying attention to that, there might be listeners thinking, uh-oh, I haven't really thought much about this. I don't think I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really important awareness, isn't it? It's crucial to have that
awareness. It's a gift. It's a gift if we're feeling that. It's a gift because, quite honestly, Peter, you know, when this kind of really connected with me fairly recently, and I've been trying to offer sacrifices in reparation for sin and the conversion of sinners, I'm not sure that I've sufficiently made reparation for my own sins. I hope that somebody else is benefiting from my sacrifices, but honestly, the sins of my youth, how I treated people, not good. Mm-hmm. And I know that that was more serious and more offensive to the Lord than I realized at the time. And I'm somehow realizing it more now. Like, for the first time, really, after reading the memoirs of Lucy, one night I woke up in the middle of the night, just back from Fatima, and just reading about this, I started weeping for my sins, you know, mm-hmm. really for the first time. And yeah. I think it was a godly grief, you know, it was yeah. like, it was good, it wasn't weird, you know, whatever, you know. And I do think that because of our fallen condition, we don't sometimes see the wickedness of our sins and the horror of how we treat other people and the consequences of our decisions on them and on the Lord himself and our offenses to the Lord. So I think this reparation for sin is very important. I think people should really be doing it, doing reparation for their own sins, but also for the sins of those who don't care. Yeah. And so there's a twofold dimension to this. You know, there's a concern for our own response to the Lord, but right from the very beginning, it's all about others as well. It's all about caring about other people who don't care about God and interceding for them so that they can start believing, they can start adoring, they can start hoping, they can start loving. So yes, this is a work of love, this intercession and this reparation, this sacrifice and prayer.
Some listeners might be thinking, well, wait a minute, I want the confession about these things that happened in the past. What are you saying to me exactly?
This is where the Catholic teaching about the temporal punishment due to sin comes in. Hmm. The guilt of the sin is taken away. The eternal consequences, for example, of a mortal sin is forgiven, so we're not going to go to hell if we die. But there's still consequences to our sin. There's still damage that's been done to our soul and the souls of others. There's still something that has to be made up there. And so that's what the penance is supposed to be. The penance has become almost like a light tap on the wrist when we know something more significant really is needed, you know, yeah. to repair the damage. And that's why sometimes that absolution is withheld if you're not willing to make restitution of what you stole, or if you're not willing to restore somebody's reputation, that you need to repair the objective damage that you've done by your sin. And even though forgiveness is given in the sacrament of reconciliation for mortal sin, the temporal punishment for it and the temporal consequences of remain. So that's what this is kind of related to.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Well, then Mary says, are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the suffering he wills to send you as an act of reparation for the sins by which he is offended and supplication for the conversion of sinners? Mary's repeating the same thing the angel said. And they said with great enthusiasm, we are willing. She says, well, you're gonna have a lot to suffer. Remember when the apostles said they want to sit in the right hand and left, and Jesus yeah. said, can you drink the cup? And they said, oh, yeah, we can drink the cup. You know, the cup is deep.
Yeah.
The cup is profound.
The cup Jesus drank was Calvary.
It's the cup right? he drank, yep. yep. And when we take the cup and drink his blood, we're kind of saying, yes, I'm willing to drink the cup, you know. We're drinking the cup of his shed blood, you know, and that means we're willing to have our life healed and transformed to become a life of offering for others and for the salvation of others and the evangelization and reparation and yeah. all that. Then a great light came from her hands, and this is what she said. Pray the rosary every day to obtain peace for the world. This is the only request she repeated at every single apparition. So prayer, sacrifice, praying the rosary every day. Now, I've prayed the rosary periodically, sometimes fairly regularly. You know, I've been trying to respond, but honestly, since I've really heard this in a new way, even if on a certain day I forget or just so exhausted I can't stay awake, I'll make it up the next day. Now, I'm still a weak rosary prayer. I only pray five decades. You know, some people pray all 20, you know, that type of thing. I haven't gotten there yet. I don't know what the Lord's going to do about that. But I am trying to faithfully say the five decades every day. And if I miss a day, I'll say two the next day. For peace in the world, for God to have mercy on the world. Monsignor Pope did a recent thing in his blog, I think that was really important. He says, don't desire the chastisement. Don't desire the punishment. It's going to be really, really terrible if it comes. Don't desire it. Say the rosary every day. Ask God to have mercy, you know. And I think...
Interesting.
Yeah.
What if the severe mercy is the only way to get people to turn their hearts to God?
It could. God is so patient, and sometimes when you see what's happening, you're wondering why he's still patient, but he is. You know, all his ways are just, all his ways are true. But I think we are in grave danger right now as a world. You know, we're in grave danger. You know, it's not just North Korea. It's a whole bunch of different crazy things. And I think we should all be praying the rosary every day for peace, like Mary asked us to do it. It's the only thing she repeated in all six of her apparitions. And I think we all should be looking for making sacrifices. Some people can fast from food. I try to do it a couple of days a week in a modest kind of way. And my spiritual director at the seminary, a patristic scholar, said all the early Christians fasted two times a day. You know, like it's no big deal.
Two times a week?
Two times a week, you know, like after like the evening meal one day, not eating again until the evening meal the next day, which, you know, it has some bite to it, but it's not horrendous, you know, type of thing. And it's when I do it, I kind of intensifies my crying out to God. It kind of, I'm putting a little skin in the game. I know that the Satan has a grip on many people's lives. And so I'm remembering Mark 9:29, where Jesus says some of these things are only cast out by prayer and fasting. So I'm kind of like trying to cooperate, you know, trying to cooperate with the Word of God and put a little skin in the game.
You know, I think, Ralph, you're talking about that we're facing potential judgment. But we've just been living through these strange months where all kinds of people's sins, private sins, are being revealed publicly. And I am completely convinced that God's judgment is coming on the world there, a discipline to say, to expose the sin to the light of day. And what's missing, people, is that God does this for people to wake up, that he's the chiefly offended party.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost never is a part of the conversation.
Right.
He's doing this not just at these people for us to point at them, but for all of us to repent of our sin and to encourage people to come into the light with God.
Yeah.
And God is the one who's chiefly offended. He's giving you an opportunity of severe mercy now to turn your life to him and to receive the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, and get on the right track.
Yeah. You know? Well, you're right, Peter. This is crazy, because the thing that all the uproar is about now is non-consensual sexual immorality.
Right.
You know, as long as people consensually fornicate and consensually
commit adultery,
perversion,
and
all that kind of stuff, homosexual activity, everything is okay. You know, like that's how low our ethical standards have fallen as a society.
Right. And you can see, friends, that this is what it means to live at a time and in a place where you're offending God. I mean, the world is offending God. It's very indifferent to God. And this is a very big deal. And the Christian people need to wake up. Christian people need to respond in prayer and repentance and lead the way. Join us again tomorrow. I'll be here with Dr. Martin. We'll continue our conversation on Fatima. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.